that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Chico Community Ballet and friends are giving a new spin to a classic with their performance, A Very Chico Nutcracker. The beloved holiday ballet, The Nutcracker, has gone through a transformation, incorporating Chico history, locations, and people. Today we talk with the choreographer and with the lead ballerina.
We're all walking stories, another page to turn. A paperback expression of a life worth being told.
Stories 5 is the name of the new art show at 1078 Gallery in Chico. It features creations by many Chico area artists and also allows those artists to tell their personal stories associated with the artwork. On today's program, we'll hear from 3 artists from the Stories 5 exhibit. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Mall with the North State Arts Calendar.
At the Cascade Theater in Reading, it's time for Shasta County's favorite holiday tradition, Cascade Christmas. You, your family, and friends can celebrate the season at this high-spirited musical. Showtime is 7 o'clock tonight and tomorrow, with 2 o'clock matinees tomorrow and Sunday. Reading's Riverfront Playhouse presents The Man Who Came to Dinner. This classic comedy filled with colorful characters plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. There's also a Sunday matinee at 2. At the Orland Arts Center, the exhibit, A Beautiful Blend of East and West. See works by Chung Hong Chang, who blends classical Asian painting with European-style still lifes. The final day to see this show is tomorrow, between 1 and 6. Sunday, enjoy the San Francisco Opera on screen at Chico State's Zing Recital Hall as part of the Grand Opera Cinema Series. Starting at 2 o'clock, see Donizetti's Lucia di Lammermoor. At the University's Janet Turner Print Museum, the exhibit Wide Open Spaces, Janet Turner Prints with Photos of the Big Chico Creek Ecological Reserve. The Turners open 11 to 4, Monday through Saturday. Tomorrow's your final chance to see the exhibit at 1078 Gallery, A Collecting Place, featuring lithographs, silk screens, and cyanotypes created by printmaker Susanna Crum. Hours at the gallery tomorrow, 12:30 to 5:30. The Acting Company in Yuba City stages the lighthearted comedy Christmas Bells. 3 feuding Southern sisters struggle to put together a holiday pageant. See the play tonight or tomorrow at 8 o'clock, and there's a Sunday matinee at 2. In Yuba City, the Community Memorial Museum of Sutter County celebrates our country's natural wonders with the National Park Service, 100 Years of Heritage. See this collection of artwork tomorrow between noon and 4, or next Wednesday through Friday between 9 and 5. Thursday in Grass Valley at the Center for the Arts, the legendary Count Basie Orchestra. These master musicians perform a classic set with a Kansas City swing beat. The joint starts jumping at 7:30. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. On this Thanksgiving weekend, remember to be grateful. Philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche noted that the essence of all beautiful art, all great art, is gratitude.
Very Chico Nutcracker, a new spin on a holiday classic, the Nutcracker Ballet, this time with lots of references to Chico history, events, personages, all kinds of Chico stuff. Starting next Thursday at Lax Auditorium on the Chico State campus, let's talk with the choreographer, Deborah Yoritsma. Hi, Deborah.
Hello, Tom.
This is your brainchild, isn't it?
It is. It started out actually many years ago with the idea that if I ever got a chance to redo the Nutcracker, I would set it in turn of the century Chico to make it something that is a part of our
culture. So turn of the 20th century, 19th to 20th century.
Yes.
Tell me some more about how you Chicoized this classic story of the Nutcracker.
Well, basically, it all started with a tour of the Stansberry House. Somebody had said, go check it out. So I did. When I got to Dr. Oscar Stansberry's daughter's room, Angeline, it was covered with posters from around the world. And then I saw a little actual poster from her original bedroom. Act two of the traditional Nutcracker always has the Spanish and the Arabian and the Chinese and the Russians. A lot of times originally it was just meant for extra dancing for dancers and doesn't always have a strong pull into the storyline. But this time, this is where I jumped off from, was with those posters and telling a fictional story of Angeline, because there is not a whole lot of information about her and why those posters were there.
The story starts in Act One, and it's a big Christmas party, right?
Yes, it's Christmas Eve, actually. And I've changed the names to represent our local Dr. Oscar Stansberry and his wife, Libby, their daughter, Angeline, and then their son, Middleton. So instead of Clara and Fritz, I've actually changed their names to represent the Stansberry family.
Are there any other famous Chico personages that we'll see? Does John Bidwell show up?
John does not actually show up for this. They had a party somewhere else that year.
Well, we have the lead ballerina from A Very Chico Nutcracker. Originally, that's Clara, but in this production, it's Angeline Stansberry. This is Cameron Titus. Hi, Cameron.
Hi.
How many times have you performed this role in any kind of Nutcracker?
The last time that I performed this role, I was Clara, and that was actually 12 years ago in 2004. So it's been a little while.
So what do you find different about being in this brand new Chico-centric version?
Being a Chico native, it's allowed me to kind of get in touch with the Chico Christmas spirit. Instead of it being set in a time and set in a place that I'm unfamiliar with, it's fun to be able to incorporate the Stansberry House and the almond blossoms and wildflowers. So it's a different kind of magical story.
When you were growing up in Chico, did it seem magical, especially at Christmas time around this town?
At Christmas time it does, you know, with the Christmas lights and, you know, it's getting cold. Around Christmas preview, you know, when they shut down the streets and the horses come out, they may not be sleigh rides, but carriage rides and Christmas carolers. But with this ballet going into the land of almond blossoms and wildflowers, it seems a little more fitting because I haven't had the snowy Christmas, Land of the Snow and such.
Deborah, you decided to replace the land of the snow in the second act with almond blossoms. So it's seas of almond blossoms. So lots of white still.
It is, with a little touch of pink because some of the almond blossoms actually have those colors.
Right.
If you've ever sat in a orchard at springtime when the wind's blowing and the blossoms are falling, to me that's one of the magical times of Chico. Also, one of the things going as people are arriving into the theater, I want them transformed the moment they walk in. So we're going to be having slides from Old Chico that are being projected. We've got a four-piece string quartet playing Christmas music. So hopefully the moment they walk in, they get to just fall in love with the holidays, with our lovely Chico history, and just be transformed for a couple hours.
And understand the sets that you had been using for years for the Nutcracker, which you do every other year, were getting kind of shabby and worn out. So this kind of dovetailed with that, because you're going to have to build new sets anyway. Tell me about how you found a new designer at Chico State and how he is helping you bring your vision to life.
Actually, it's not a new designer. He's actually the original designer of our first Nutcracker back in 1995. Bob Pickering had designed that. He's done a few of our other sets. He left town for a number of years and just happened to come back at the same time that we were starting to plan this. So I brought him on board when we started doing the initial brainstorming of how we were going to make this all happen. It's been just a real joy to work with him again.
Did he take to your concepts, wanting to imbue that Chico-ness into everything?
He really did. It's based off of Dr. Stansberry's family and the house. He was able to take different pieces of the architecture, like the stained glass window. That stained glass window that's on the side of the house that sits on 5th and Salem begins to be a part of this story also. So yeah, he really did a beautiful job of, I think, taking my ideas and even going further with it.
Cameron, you have a lot of wondrous things happen, like you shrink down to the size of a mouse. What's it like to have all that magic happening?
Well, there's kind of two aspects of it. There's the magic portrayed in the story, and then there's the magical part of being on stage when all of this is happening, when all the sets are changing and the almond blossoms are falling. And then you also get just caught up in the story and the magical part of that and bringing that to life for all these kids that are coming to see and all these people that love coming to the Nutcracker as part of their holiday tradition.
You grew up in Chico. Do you remember seeing the Nutcracker, another version of the Nutcracker, when you were little at Laxon Auditorium?
I do remember seeing the Nutcracker, and I also remember vividly my very first Nutcracker when I was 8 years old as a little angel and being in awe of everything that was happening and sobbing when it was over. Yeah, it's been really fun to be a part of it, you know, most every other year.
Yeah.
And yeah, continue with it.
What's it like being on stage with a lot of young dancers like you were when you were little and realizing that they're looking at you the way you looked at those lead dancers when you were doing the first Nutcracker?
It's an honor, actually. It's really fun to dance alongside them and with them and around them and have them come up and be so excited to talk to me and dance with me and be a role model for them. Hopefully.
Well, the way ballet works, you put a lot of work, just drudgery, it looks like, to the rest of us, to be able to have a performance like this, but only a few times in the year. What's it like having so much preparation and training going on just constantly, but only to be able to show it off to an audience two or three times a year when a ballet is performed?
There is a lot of preparation that goes into a ballet, not just in the months prepping for it, but also in the year training for the preparation for the show. But ballet is a momentary art. It's something that, unlike a painting, unlike a photograph, you won't have forever. It's something that's kind of fleeting. Something special is in that. And so it's fun to be a part of it. It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. But it's something that's beautiful and special, even if it's just a weekend.
Well, Deborah, I understand a former dancer with Chico Community Ballet is coming back to perform as the Nutcracker, who, of course, turns into the Dashing Prince.
One of our past dancers, Jake Bevins, who will be coming up. He's professionally dancing down in Los Angeles now. He's always such a joy to work with. He also brings quite a wonderful sense of acting and aliveness to the stage. He and Cameron both have a really good chemistry together. I think that's going to bring a lot of excitement.
A very Chico Nutcracker. That is happening next weekend at Chico State in Laxon Auditorium. It opens Thursday, December 1st, performance at 7:30, and then it plays Friday the 2nd and Saturday the 3rd, also at 7:30. Then there's two matinees, Saturday the 3rd at 2 p.m. And then the final performance is Sunday, December 4th at 2 o'clock. We've been talking with the choreographer, the person who conceived this whole Chico-centric version of the Nutcracker, Deborah Yoritsma, and we've been talking with the lead ballerina, Cameron Titus. Thanks to both of you for coming in and talking about this.
Thank you for having us on.
A week from now, 1078 Gallery in Chico opens its latest show, Stories 5. When you walk through the door of this exhibition, you'll be given a booklet in which each of the five artists has told a personal story associated with the artwork on display. Our visual art expert, Dolores, has three of those Stories 5 artists to talk with us.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm speaking with three participants in the 1078 Gallery's fifth annual Stories exhibition. This is called Stories 5. I'm speaking today with Pat Collentine and Susan Larson. In addition, I'm speaking with Michelle Davis. All the artists have very strong ties to Chico. So let's start with your ties to Chico. Susan.
Well, I'm a graduate of Chico University, and I also been living here a long time, co-originator of 1078 Gallery and local artist.
How about Pat?
I'm a graduate of Chico State in the glass art department. We've made our lives here in Chico for the last 35 years, so we're those students that never left.
Michelle.
I came to Chico in the first grade. I'm a graduate of Chico High and Chico State. Also, I attended Butte College, where I now teach photography.
The premise behind Stories 5 is not only a tie to Chico, but that you'll respond to a prompt. And it was a very open-ended prompt.
We had to present something that was in our life experience and how that affected our art making. We chose to talk about our experience with Berlin and going through Checkpoint Charlie.
Pat, what was that experience like?
Well, for us, and for myself in particular, my first experience in Checkpoint Charlie was in the mid-1970s. Our first time together was in the early 1980s. And at that time, we were there with our two other children. And it was really strange, I think, for anybody that had never experienced Berlin when it was a walled city, but it was literally an island 5 hours in the middle of the former communist country of East Germany. You would have to transit to Berlin to go to this island that was surrounded by the Berlin Wall. And the only place that Americans were allowed to travel between East and West Berlin was at Checkpoint Charlie. In those days, Checkpoint Charlie was literally like out of one of those spy movies. And so what was fascinating for us was to see Checkpoint Charlie in the day of the spy era, and then also in the day of just after the Berlin Wall came down. Susan and I literally went there a month afterward to experience Berlin without the wall. And then 20 years after that point, we went for another time, and that was fairly recently, and to experience Berlin where you couldn't even find the Berlin Wall.
Michelle, what kind of a story did you tell?
I told a story of how in the first grade at J. Partridge School here in Chico, I had a pretty active art program, and there was a lot of drawing, and I remember winning a drawing contest. That kind of sealed it for me. The academics were a little more slippery for me than, say, holding a pencil or colored paint or something. Starting there, I just identified as being an artist and went all the way through. In high school, though, I was drawing and doing watercolors, like photorealism stuff. So I guess I really consider that being lens-based because I was working from photographs. I feel like I've come a full circle now because I'm using watercolor paper and watercolor paint and brushes, but I'm also using the lens. Current, you know, digital software along with antique light-sensitive chemistry to make the prints.
Tell us a little bit about those antique processes.
Cyanotype is one of them. It's the blueprints. Then I'm also using gum bichromate, and that's just putting watercolor in gum arabic and then mixing it with a sensitizer. So I'm overlapping them. Blue underneath sort of mimics the veins, the blue in the blood that we have. And then I'm using a color that's more blood color on top. I'm infusing this life chemistry into inanimate objects that I've photographed that are sort of alive, but not alive. I'll leave it at that.
Well, you're using both antique processes and very contemporary ones. Yeah. How do your students respond?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I usually teach this class in the fall where we're doing alternative photographs. Photographers happen to be very detail-oriented and really picky and want perfection, and they're used to Photoshop. And to get them used to painting and accepting happy accidents, things that happen with watercolor, which you know about, it's very difficult, actually. But I try to get them to embrace those things. And it really opens up a new avenue or way of thinking and working and letting go a little bit. I enjoy that two sides of this process.
You're a subversive, but in a very creative way. So the expectations of a student coming in might be challenged, but in the end, it's a very creative process. Susan, what's your collaboration with Pat like? Talk a little bit about how you both use photography, but in very unusual ways.
Well, we use photography to document an event. That then we change and use Photoshop into an actual final product that is very different than the original. Our collaborative process is a give and take, and we've been doing this a number of years. It started with something you'll see in the book is our color bars. Truly a photographic process where we use an image to compare other things in that environment. And now we've kind of done the same thing only with our light paintings. And that's using light, which I think has been very important throughout our work. Obviously, photography is all about light. And Pat being a light artist, we've taken that light, I think, and created a magic that then we've made an event with. The collaborative process is really give and take. Sometimes we fight, sometimes we don't speak, you know, but we do well with it. We've done some public artwork. It, I think, makes us both better artists.
Pat, you have some very interesting thoughts about the process that you're using.
Well, you know, and I think as I was listening to Susan describe the process and what our intentions are in that sense about how we captured the moment. And I think even our little story about Berlin, I think, is this idea as we age and as we go on in life, we realize life is really a collection of all these moments. And these moments are ever changing. I can't go back to Checkpoint Charlie and have the Checkpoint Charlie that I experienced in 1976. It's not the same place anymore. And I think that that's part of it, is that these experiences that we capture with photography, well, they're gone. I mean, I think now everybody doing these selfies, as artists, we wonder, wouldn't it be nice actually just to enjoy the moment? And I think that this is part of it, is I think it makes us focus on change. I think that that's what I think about my own work and how it's hard to grasp a moment. I think that we want to hold on to it with photographs or these kinds of things, and how that they're very elusive, these moments.
Well, let's make it a little more tangible and talk about the process of one of your works that will be shown.
Well, like Susan described, that we actually make traditional color photographs of what we would describe as light paintings, so that we're using the camera and capturing neon actually in motion with the environment. We take these photographs and then run them through the computer and make some adjustments to them, and they actually become black and white photographs. And then these black and white photographs are laser engraved onto anodized aluminum. That process uses light again to create the final output.
This exhibition, Stories 5, is going to run until December 29th. But on Friday, December 2nd, there's going to be a reception from 6 to 8 p.m. Unfortunately, two of the artists we're talking to right now will not be there. Michelle Davis will be there, but
I have the honor of getting a two-week artist-in-residency at the Boda Glass Factory in southern Sweden. So Susan and I will be heading to Sweden for about a two-and-a-half-week stay, where I'll work as an artist-in-resident at the historic glass factory in southern Sweden. In the process of that residency, I'll have another unique opportunity where I'll be working for 2 days using glass and light, working with Afghan and Syrian refugees.
Well, I'm sorry you won't be there, but I'm glad your works will be. And the 1078 Gallery is located at 8th Street and Broadway in downtown Chico. Thank you.
We're all walking stories, another page to turn. A paperback expression of a life worth being told. Every step I take, another scribble on the page.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this show at its regular broadcast time, you can listen to it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts where you live. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio, and I'm Tom Kinney.
We're all walking stories, another page to turn. A paperback expression of a life worth being told. Every step I take, another scribble on the page. We're all walking stories. Walking stories, oh, what's yours gonna say? Stories, oh, what's yours gonna say?